Okay, so we're working on a document, Vaishnav Strategic Plan, and you know, it's developing as we're going. So this is the first time we're we'd be running it in you know, an assembly of the devotees to hear and give the feedback. So basically, we'll just start reading through and commenting as we go. And if there's questions, then you can ask and those things as we go. But keep it relevant, you know, within the context of what we're speaking. So then, summary of the content here. We have the four states, means this is what will be discussed over the next so many days. So it's just giving an overview here. So four stages of strategic planning: the strategy, operational, tactical, and technical. Choosing the right strategic model, because you have various models. You have, you know, the corporate, you have it's original, it's in a political, you know, or administrative model. But then here's then the educational model that will work the best for a spiritual institution, right? Because we're trying to establish, because many, you know, are discussing strategic planning, but unfortunately, they generally choose from the corporate because that's all they're familiar with. I mean, very few even know it comes from a administrative background. And it's not new. People are dealing with it as a new thing in corporate, but it actually goes back hundreds of years like that. Then we have the functional mechanism strategic planning, the relationship between the organizational and the individual. Very important part, because when you have an institution, you want to see that you don't lose the individuality, and the individual doesn't do things that don't assist in the development of the institution. And you have the role of management at these different levels, because each of the four levels, there's some role that is to be played. And then in the outline, then we have the strategic, you know, we have. Strategical is the goal, your operational is the field, your tactical is the action, and the technical mechanical is the techniques and skills of action. So the strategic setting, the vision, the mission, and the purpose, establishing the fundamental functional principles, and formation of the blueprint, which is then executed by the lower three levels. So the important point is that strategy is the goal. It is what is being executed by the other levels. It is what's being obtained by the other levels. If it's not in line with the strategy, it's not strategic planning. You know, it's not strategical. So the problem that comes up, we'll get into the detail when we'll get into that, is that people take it that strategy means your plan. But in strategic planning, strategical is not the plan. Strategical is the goal. And then you are trying to apply a plan to get that goal. This is the most major mistake that is made in strategic planning. Because you see, is that, you know, as it'll unfold, we'll see as Prabhupada's already laid all this out. He's already given the framework. But when people approach strategic planning, they approach it as if it's an open, clean field. And so I remember, you know, sitting in a, you know, big meeting. First thing is, okay, what does everybody like to see? You know, what would everyone like to see in the next 20 years of the society? Or what would you see as, you know, some kind of, you know, a success in the society in the next 20 years? And then everyone raised their hand, they write it on the board, there's like 20 things on the board. And then we're making the strategy. That's right there is the first mistake. We don't make strategy. We apply the lower levels to attain the strategy that's already been established. This is the first point. And if one is thinking, okay, no, we're making the plan now, you're not doing strategic planning, or if you are, you're working at the lowest level, number four. And for most, they never even get above that. Make some that are a little bit better, get the tactical. Very rare they get to operation. That's just a fact. That's why you see 25 years of strategic planning in the society, and we don't really see dynamic results. Because they're not working with strategic planning. You know, it'd be like we're saying, okay, we're going to put together a vehicle here. We got three lug nuts and we got an exhaust pipe. You know, okay, so what are we going to do? What's our plan? You know, that's what we're dealing with. So then we're defining the goal. You know, I say, okay, we'll just go into the next level. Thanks, because we're here talking. Okay, so four stages of strategic planning. Okay, strategic planning describes how the ends or goals will be achieved by the means, resources, right? So strategy means you're defining the goal, right? It is designed to consolidate the mission, vision, and values of an organization, as well as the long-term goals and the action plans to reach them. Thus, strategic planning involves thoughtful analysis of the goals and priorities, determining actions to achieve the goals, and mobilizing resources to execute the actions. These aspects can be classified into four stages or levels, right? So that overall is what you're trying to do with strategic planning. This will be the four levels, right? We've already mentioned that. Strategical, S, the goal. Setting the vision, the mission, the goal, establishing the fundamental functional principles, and formation of the blueprint, which is then executed by the lower three levels. So factually, when we get down to the details of this, you'll see Prabhupada's already given this in detail. Prabhupada, the previous acharyas, Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Lord Chaitanya himself. We don't have to make the strategy. Anybody who thinks we'll make the strategy is already a fool. Just making that clear from the beginning. Now, that of course, if you're working, it'll become clear as we go. The operational, or the field, that is the functional field of activities that act as avenues, agencies for accomplishment of the strategy. In other words, you have a strategy that you're trying to accomplish. What are the agencies by which you can accomplish that? You know, just like, let's say, we're cooking lunch. What are the avenues to accomplish that? So you have a kitchen, you're going to have cooks, you're going to have people do marketing, you know, things like that. These are going to get your cooking done. But you don't have to say, okay, so what are we going to do? What is cooking? How are we, what does it work? How does it matter? So how are we going to develop and make cooking, like that? No, cooking is an eternal principle. That's what has to be understood. The strategical is eternal principles. So we're speaking on this, not from looking at modern approaches to strategic planning. We're dealing with this coming from the Vedic version. It means the concept of strategic planning is already there in the Vedic version. That's how it works. If strategic planning works, it works because it's already there in the Vedic. Right? Krishna's laws, they're there. Krishna's laws work. Like gravity, it works. We don't have to work out gravity. You know, we don't have to go, let's see a raise of hands, how people think gravity should function. Should we have gravity or not? You know, if you went to a meeting of leadership and that was their first question, that's the time when you have to go to the bathroom and leave and don't come back. Because the point is that we don't make gravity. We don't make the laws of nature. We don't make how things actually function in this world. That's already established by Krishna. We just have to use our intelligence how we're going to go about doing that. And we'll see as it unfolds that Srila Prabhupada's already shown us what operational elements to use. So Prabhupada has already established the strategical and the operational field for us, right? Then tactical is the action itself, right? As we said, the operational is the field, then you're going to have an action within that field. Structural organization of operational elements. That's where now our input starts to come in. That we see is, okay, for what we have here and the people that we have here, we can do this. You know, it's like we had four brahmacharis and we have a van. Okay, so what can we do? We can do sankirtan, right? So therefore then, well, how do we do that? We get the bus, drive to a place, and then get out. And then what will we do? Then is the next, the technical. So that's the mechanical, the techniques and skills of action, details and mechanics of the tech. So how you get out on the street? Where do we drop the boys off? How do they sell the books? How many books are they going to do in a day? How many do they carry around? You know, like that. How are they dressed? How do they talk? All that is the fourth level. That's the mechanical level. You understand? So we are dealing with this. So now this is the fun part, is most when they approach management, they only deal with the fourth level. And that's good managers. Others just sit around and talk what would be nice. So fourth level means you're doing it. It also includes training people and doing everything like that. Right? So but what it has to be appreciated is that the Lord Chaitanya's mission has already been established. We can take part in that mission. And by taking part, that's where our independence comes in. Then we use our intelligence on the ground to see how we can, in our situation, our facility, apply this whole program so that we're actually assisting in the strategic and operational program given by the Lord and the Acharyas. So we see it's a very different approach. What's the main difference? It's a descending process. Krishna's there. He's the goal. Developing love for him is the goal, right? The jiva is already a servant, so it's not that we have to work that out. And that developing love for God is your ultimate goal. Then how do we apply ourselves? What's our nature? What can we do for Krishna? Right? It's not a matter of whatever you feel like. It's whatever it means. What you feel like is, that's an important part, but what are you actually qualified for? Like, there's a good chance the 8-year-old would like to drive the car. But is he qualified? Right? He can't even reach the pedals. Right? Unless he's got his dog down there pressing the pedals, but that only works in the cartoons. Right? So, yeah. Of these four levels, the first two levels, strategical and operational, are primary, while the next two, tactical and technical, are supportive or secondary. Right? So everything has to be in line. It means the strategy is the main. Of means in primary, you have two, strategic and operational. So strategic will be the main one there, and the operational will be in pursuance of the strategy. Of the secondary, or those who are supportive, tactical will be the practical. Technical will be the detail of how that practical works. Like I'm saying, okay, I'm going to use the mouse, okay, that and click on the buttons. That's the tactical. Technical is, okay, I use my right hand. I grab the mouse like this. I use my finger here and push on the button here. I move it around, right? If the mouse is upside down, the thing goes, the cursor goes backwards. I try to click with my other finger, it actually comes up with another list of things to do, right? Because it's a magic mouse, right? So that's the whole thing, is that is technical. That's what people talk about in the management meeting. They have to understand they are in no way, shape, or form creating strategy or operational. It may not, what people may say is, oh, but I feel hurt by that. You know, I feel I'm restricted. I'm doing nothing. Oh, we just have to blindly go into it. No, the point is it's unlimited. Krishna is unlimited. Can we know Krishna by our limited intelligence? No. Can we just decide, oh, Krishna's like this and that's the way he is? No. So we have to understand is that the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and the strategic planning, they go very nicely. Strategic planning very much goes well with this and supports what's going on. This idea that, no, we have to go out and create this whole new field and it's never been done before, that is for people who aren't observant. They don't read the books. They don't listen to the lectures, you know, like that. So that's the problem. The first level, called strategy, gives a full impression of what an organization is meant to achieve, its goal, mission, and vision, and establishes the overarching fundamental functional principles, which form the basis of the framework upon which the structural formation of the other three levels will be established. Right? It's overarching. If it's not in line with the goal, mission, and vision, it has no value. Right? That's one of the main points in devotional service, is you see your position, you see what things you can do by your nature, you see which one of those are useful in Krishna consciousness. And then, therefore, then, you, apply that in Krishna consciousness. And those areas, maybe you can do something, you know, like maybe you can open a champagne bottle with your teeth. Great. But you might not find very much value of that in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, that skill is left. And you only use those ones that are going to be useful. You can say again, oh, it's restrictive. Anything you do, it's restrictive. How do you cross the street? Right? You have to stand there, stop at the corner. You have to push that little button. Why do we have to push the button? Why can't I just do what I want? What if I want to bite the button off? Or what if I want to take a cricket bat and hit the button? No, you just push the button. Then when you walk, when it says that you walk, the little green man, the little green person comes up, excuse me. And then we can cross the street on the zebra crossing. Right? And it's very important to note that the black and white stripes that are there on the street, they're both equal. It's not that one is more important than the other, or one is superior to the other and all that. All the black and white stripes, they're all equal, right? Then you walk across within those stripes. You don't stray out of that. So every day, everything we do, you eat your cereal. You put the cereal in a bowl, right? You don't put it in a tequila, you know, shot glass. No, it goes in a bowl. You eat it with a spoon, not a fork, not a spatula, not your shoe, right? Unless you're, you know, what is that, you know, what's that? Unless you're Daniel Ricciardo. Then you do it without your shoe, right? Then you're going to pick it up using one of your hands. Unless, of course, you're some variety of simian, then you can use your foot because you have a prehensile toe. You don't have a prehensile toe, you stick to your hands, right? Because you have this thing here, this thumb, really cool thing. Then you grab the spoon and it goes in your mouth, right? You don't stick it up your nose, you don't put it in ears, you don't put it on top of your head. That only works with babies. Only babies can put food anywhere and it just absorbs into the skin, or it runs down their chin and gets sucked in through their navel, right? Only they can do that, no one else. Right? So everything we do, there's a very specific way of doing it. And so one can say, oh no, it's so much restriction. That's just in the mind. And people who think like that, they're the ones that can't get anything done, won't get anything done, have never gotten anything done. Means there's laws, eternal laws. You follow them, they work.
Maharaj, can I make one question?
Yes, please.
Before making that, we got from Gurudas that your microphone is a little too distant to make a good recording. So if Mataji, Shyamaradhika, you could a little.
Can you turn it up, or I have to do something?
I don't know. Shyama Mata knows.
The recording is coming through fine on this side, but I can share that later.
Okay.
Yeah, I can try moving forward.
But we can hear.
We can hear, it's just Gurudas, you mentioned that the recording is not coming good. But if it's in the end good, then...
It's what we've been doing for the last so many months, so... Mm-hmm. As long as
the Zoom recording is okay.
Here, then we'll go on. If not, then...
Yeah. So, Maharaj, could you a little elaborate that, you know, if we take a non-Vedic model for strategic planning, then, like, you know, what will happen in the end? Will we reach, can we reach the goals if this, if the sambandha is a bit different and the goal and everything? Because like, you know, it should have been like we are now sitting in the, this is FSB's meeting room. They are very careful that it's like, you know, there's a certain pattern and it will create a certain result. So, but if it's not, they are following the certain, then the result is different. So what could we get a little, what is the result of the wrong choose strategic planning in the end? Because we can see now already, I don't know if they are related, some greediness element, some kind of a business results are coming, but not the results in the sense of better results in the spiritual, you know, level, but a little bewildered, you know, what will happen. Could you a little elaborate them?
We'll just get into that because that's the next point coming up, but we'll just finish the two things in here. Okay. The second level, operational, institutes the avenues for accomplishment of the strategy and the practical application. So that's been there. The next two, tactical and technical, are secondary. So they deal only with the specifics of effective management and details that add in accomplishing the goals and objectives, which are characterized in the first two levels, strategy and operational. Hence, even though the tactical and technical levels are the intermediate stage, immediate stage may require more volume of time, resources, and endeavor for execution, the strategic and operational aspects maintain more prominence as they establish the organization's primary functional principles, overall and long-term vision, mission, and goals, and the scheme of their execution, right? So it's just like, you may be spending all day doing different things like this. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're doing your work and all that. But the few hours you spend chanting is still more important than the most primary aspect of your day. So we have to also be careful that the idea doesn't come up that, but we spend more time on this tactical and technical, therefore it becomes more important. No. That, again, comes up from the corporate idea, because you see previously, even in the Western history, it was always about the priests and then, you know, the priests and then the king. But at some point, then it switched to it was more about the economics and the volume of money and the volume of the people. So therefore, you get going to the capitalistic and the corporate and the the people, the socialistic thing comes up. So that's all about numbers. So that's the point, is that the strategic and the operational is not about volume. It's about the quality of what you're trying to get. And tactical and technical will deal with volume. So both are important, but you have to understand is that the volume is only in value in connection with the strategic. That's why you see, as Prabhupada says, we're preaching. And we're trying to make it available for as many people as possible, but we're not going to lower the standard. Because, yes, glass is available to everyone, but a diamond, that's more rare. That's not everybody can get that. We're selling diamonds. We're not selling glass. Right? So now, with Tattva's question, choosing the right strategic model. So this gives a overview of that point. More detail will also come up. Choosing the right strategic model. An educational model is focused on elevating the consciousness of people. The political model on protecting and administering the citizens, whilst the corporate model is merely focused on gaining profits. Hence, the approach to strategic planning of each model varies due to the difference in their strategic goals. Since the ultimate goal of human life is the attainment of pure love of God, all our social and economic activities should be in line with the spiritual principles established by the Vaishnavacharyas. Thus, at the strategic level, the educational model would be the natural choice for spiritual organization. Whilst those success principles of the political and corporate models that are not in conflict with the spiritual principles may be useful to assist in achieving the operational, tactical, and technical goals, right? So, the point comes up is that here's now we're starting to see the detail of what strategy means in practical. So an educational means people have knowledge. People are elevated in their understanding, right? A political model or an administrative, its strategy is that people will be protected. That's the most essential point. So in other words, in the Brahminical, it's going to be studying and teaching and knowing this knowledge and applying it to your life. Administration is going to be protecting the people. Corporate is going to be to make profit. No other point. It's all about what makes profit, right? So therefore, then you have to see as if we're using a corporate model, means then how will that be useful in a spiritual organization? Because our strategy is not profit. Our strategy is going back to Godhead, training people in God consciousness. So Prabhupada says we're an educational institution, a cultural institution. He never says we're a corporate. You know, we're out to make money or we're out to control people in society. We're not. So these other models, though, on their particular level, like the administrative on the organizational level, will have some things to appreciate. And on the tactical and technical, the corporate will have some points that are of value. But the point is if they're not in line with the strategy of an educational institution and of education, we're a descending educational institution. It means it's a transcendentalist starting from the Lord, as Parampara. So that's why this is the reason that someone following the corporate model thinks they can create strategy. Because who wants to say the strategy is to make money? Who's going to say that? What corporation wants to show that they're so mercenary? Right? They advertise because it makes money. They have a nice store because it makes money. They care for you as a customer when you come into their store because it makes money. Right? These, you know, e-based businesses, they try to get you things quick. They try to get it to you cheap and everything like that. They even give good return policies. Why? Because it makes them more money. They show themselves to be green because it makes them more money. They sell organic or, you know, free range, potatoes, whatever, but because that makes more money. Right? They show themselves to be woke because it makes more money. That's their idea. So the strategy, all you have to do is put at the top whatever is your particular monetary, unit, a euro or a dollar or something. That is the strategy, 108%. Right? Then the operational is going to be, outlets, online thing, advertising, all these different things like that. Then you're going to have the tactical be how the store is set up and run, how many people, who, what are the schedules and all this and that. And then what each guy does, this guy comes in, opens the door, and then turns on the lights and this is how you turn on the lights and these lights go on, those ones don't. And you put your stuff down, not here, but in the back. That is the fourth level. That's the technical. Right? You understand? So you can see from this, why up to now, because those who come up with this, they're only speaking from the corporate background. And that is not an exaggeration. That is just the fact. Because it's just a matter, in other words, people are only of value as much as they make the profit. When you don't make profit anymore, you get fired. Right? But in government, you're useful or not, the government still takes care of you. Even you're a criminal, you end up in jail. Who pays for your lunch? The government. Who feeds you? Who gives you a place to stay? The government. So the government has to protect. They have to take care. Right? So we see is that that's how it works. And then you have the strategy for people have to be educated, right? But not for, and you see in others, but we have education. Yeah, but you're educating them so that they can follow your model, so they can make profit. You're not educating them to go back to Godhead. Right? That's the difference. So we have to be very, very clear here that if you use any other model, and you also, even if you use the educational, you apply it not in a descending, but an ascending platform, it will not work for devotees. You may get some temporary results, and then it'll be gone. It's very, 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 very clear. Because up to now, no one's told what actually is strategy. Because it's always, okay, what's our strategy? What should we do? No, it's not a matter of that. It's that we say, oh, we want to see, a temple in every city. That's not a strategy. That's operational. Why do we want a temple? Temple is there so people get association of Vaishnavas, so that they hear about Krishna. They can perform devotional activities and develop themselves in Krishna consciousness. That's the strategy. So it's very important that we know what is strategy. We don't have to figure, we have to try to understand the strategy. We have to try to become educated in what is already the strategy. But we never create strategies. It's already created by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya already explained the strategy to Sanatana Goswami. Right? That was already done. Okay. Functional mechanism of strategic plan. Plan, is that Tattva G, does that answer the question there?
I would like to still mention, yesterday we had with one devotee a discussion that when we were researching number of years, what Prabhupada said about, for example, the ultimate managerial authority, which is supposed to look, you know, this strategy happened, what Srila Prabhupada gave, we kind of found that, turning to the GPC means not turning to the karmic consults, but turning to the specialist in the Vedic field. But if we are already kind of, taking the model from the karmic consults, then we were a little, kind of a challenge of the idea that it's then any more UMA, ultimate managerial authority, in the sense of philosophical sense, it's already have turned a bit direction, which make the move, but still, like you were, Your Holiness, explaining, move, but which direction? So could you a little elaborate? I mean,
the point is, but what are the ultimate managerial authority? Okay. So what is that for? What's the duty of the ultimate managerial authority? Okay, we're establishing that GBC is ultimate managerial authority. Prabhupada said that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established it. He's the one who came up with the concept and the name. Governing body commissioner, that name comes from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So it's already been established. So again, we don't have to work it out. Because we have to understand the strategy also shows details of application that are preferred by the Lord and the Acharyas. Right? And so then we'll see is that in their, so what exactly does that mean? Okay, ultimate managerial authority. What does that mean? Ultimate managers. Okay, great. Well, that's the thing is, well, one, are you actually a good manager? Right? What have you managed in your life? What big projects, what things, how have you developed and made it and opened more temples and more devotees and, more books and all those kind of things? And if you have, okay, you can say you're a good manager. Okay, so what does an ultimate manager do? Right? So that's now this is where the problem comes. is now if we're taking that management is the top, then how is the goal of love for God the top? So is it love of GBC or love of God? You know what I'm saying? Because you see in the material platform that whenever you have a system that takes the management and the management principle and elevates it to the top, they write books about this. 1984 is about this. Animal Farm is about this. You know, all these different things that show when you take something and remove God from it and then try to establish that system as the top. Right? I mean, that was going on. Prabhupada gives that example in Russia. Oh, there's no God, you know? Go ahead, pray for bread. And the people pray for bread. Where's your bread? No bread. Pray to us. Oh, please give us bread. Here's your bread. See, we're better than God. Right? So that principle has always been there in history. Right? Is that management tries to take the top and they become the thing as opposed to there's already a strategy there and they are servants of the strategy. So in other words, the GBC, their duty is seeing to the establishment that everyone understands and is practicing the strategy. That's why it's the ultimate, because the strategy is the ultimate. And then the operational, that's your temple president or your farm, you know, project leader or restaurant head or whatever it is that is running there on its own in the pursuance of making people Krishna conscious. So their business is to see, is this temple president Krishna conscious? Is he making his people Krishna conscious? Is he functioning how Prabhupada said people should become Krishna conscious? If he is, that's great. And if he's not, then that has to be addressed. And how can he become more Krishna conscious? How can you institute more Krishna consciousness? Because we're a society for Krishna consciousness. We're not the international society for, appreciating, you know, ultimate managerial authority. That's not what we are. It's about Krishna consciousness. So one has to understand is the GBC is the highest leadership because it establishes the strategy, right? That is there in people's practical life. Strategy is already done. We don't have to work it out. Right? And the same way is the temple president. Why is he the head of the operational? Because he sees that all the tactical and technical things in his temple, everyone's doing it so that the temple is attaining its purpose in strategy. So that means the individual has to be God conscious and the society itself as a whole is seeing that people are becoming Krishna conscious. So the individual is becoming Krishna conscious, working with other Krishna conscious people to help others become Krishna conscious. And the organization is being done in such a way that all individuals can work together to be Krishna conscious and move forward. So that balance, then you see, that's why GBC is the top. That's what it means by ultimate managerial authority, because management happens at the operational level, not at the strategic level. Not that they're not managing the paper and figuring out where the phone is and knowing how to push the buttons. You know, the point is that that's the strategy is the ultimate authority of managers. That's their position. If they take it that, no, we're the managers that manage everything, that means they don't understand what the position is. You know, in the same way as the temple president, he's there. He's the managerial authority in his area. But he has to see that it's in line with the strategy. And that's what the GBC is there for, to see that you are becoming Krishna conscious as a temple leader, and you're making everybody else in your responsibility Krishna conscious. So that's why it's there. Like you see the king, and then there's the Rajguru. They're there to make sure you're Krishna conscious. Right? That's what they're for. Bhishma Dev's there trying to make Dhritarashtra Krishna conscious. It's not working out because he's just, you know, downright demon. But that's his job. You know, he's there to give advice and those things on that. He doesn't manage it. The manager decides. So as long as the manager is Krishna conscious and doing things in a Krishna conscious way, as Prabhupada said, you know, and you can discuss about these things, then everything's right. It's not the GBC's business to manage the temple, because that's why you have a president. Otherwise, it would be very easy. GBC can run, manage all the temples, and all the temple presidents can go out and do book distribution and Harinam and something else and not worry about life and let the GBCs manage it. You know, but they can't put in a new temple president because they're the manager. So it has to be understood is this strategic planning is a very exact science. It's not a speculation. It's not, well, some do like that, others do. No, we're not talking about this speculative method. We're talking about how Krishna is given the system and how Prabhupada gave it to us. It's philosophy. You can describe it like that. You know, if you work off the corporate books, they don't know what they're talking about. All they know is they want to make profit. That's all. We want people to become Krishna conscious and go back to Godhead. Slightly different training. Because what is the training? For us, then the training means everybody has to be trained in the principles given in the strategy. Then you, as an organization, you have to find where you fit within the operational. And, you know, where's your position in that and cooperate together within that operation. Right? So you're going back to Godhead and you're helping the whole system take others back to Godhead. But you're trained in the strategy. In the corporate model, who's trained in what making money is? No, you're simply trained in tactical and technical elements, what to do, and that's it. And the guys on top, they know how to make money, and they just get you to help them. Very different model. So basically, the corporate model as it is has a zero value for us. You know, a few of the little points on how they organize some of the tactical and technical things, you know, and see that people are doing, and, you know, there's the guy on the floor managing and this, but Prabhupada already gave that. He already gave the president, the secretary, the treasurer, the temple commander. You know, there's the Sankirtan leader. There's the head pujari, you know, like that. These are already established back in the 60s, 70s. So that already makes things work. So you already have these things in place. We simply have to follow and use our intelligence how to do it nicely. You know, it's just like you study, let's say you're going to teach Bhagavad Gita. You study Gita, you teach Gita and how it's been given as it is. Then you're a good teacher. Not that I have to make up verses and make up my own philosophies. That's useless. So is that okay? That's clear?
Very much. Very nice. Thank you, Maharaj. Naraketu Prabhu.
Maharaj, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for the introduction. I was just thinking in the terms of these educational, political, and corporate models of strategic planning that our model that was proposed so far on the GBC in ISKCON involves creating a number of offices, actually, who will coordinate the attempts of the ministries globally. And ultimately, that means the offices have to be financed. And the whole plan actually collapsed because the rest of the society was not willing to finance the offices.
Yes.
So I'm just thinking what kind of, it's not even a corporate model. It looks like a model to create offices which can be eternally financed by the global community of people. So
it's just a, in other words, it's a corporate model in that everybody has a job.
Yeah.
If you're part of the system, right? Prabhupada gave, it was 24 GBC to run the world, right? The whole globe. And the thing is, you know, as time goes and there's more, you can have a few more. But the point is if all you're doing is seeing to the Krishna consciousness, which is the most important element. In other words, if the temple is successful, plenty of money, so many devotees, but no one's Krishna conscious, what's the point? Right?
Yeah.
But if you have one devotee and they're Krishna conscious, that's already a success. And now if it can become two, can become four, can become eight, then it's getting better. So that means you go in, you see these things, you do. And so then where is the big administrative load? Where is the economic load for a GBC? They simply have to be able to have enough money to move around. But the thing is they're the ones that are starting new temple. That Prabhupada says their duty is the same as the sannyasi. So they're the ones going, opening new projects and this and that. So they have their own men. They have their own scene. They have their own money. So this idea is, no, we're a government. We're going to tax. But if they're a government, who are their Brahmins who are keeping them in line? Okay, you're the government. You tax the temples. Great. Who's keeping you in line? Because administration's never the top. Of course, it is an Anglo-Saxon thing, right? The Anglo-Saxon means, well, how did it work out with Henry VIII? Right? Henry VIII is a king, and the Pope in Rome is the boss. He runs his country, but he has to run his country according to Catholic principles. And if he doesn't do it, then they'll come and give him trouble. Right?
Yeah.
Right? So that's the principles of what are working. We're not talking about the corruptness that what were those guys called? Borgias. They kind of took over because everybody figured out that the Pope's the most powerful, so let's become the Pope, even though they're not qualified. You know, he has the power, he has the money, he has the men. So whatever it is. But the point is, the principle is there. So what was his solution? Kick out the Pope, and he becomes head of state and head of the church. So is that not a similar thing?
Yeah.
So now, if you're going to say, okay, great, you're doing this, you're going to tax all these things, that temple is putting in this much money, how much of that is he getting back? How much is he getting back in facilities? It's like, okay, you're a man on the road, right? You're driving your car, you come up to the toll station, you put your 10 euros in there, you drive down what? This little dirt road with all kinds of potholes in it and trees lying across the road and bears coming out and trying to get things to get you, you know, give you stuff to eat. That is that what you pay 10 euros for? No, well, you pay 10 euros for a 6-lane fabulous highway that, you know, is so smooth, you know, you can play, you know, billiards on it. And it's perfectly maintained. That's what you're paying. So the whole point is if you are being taxed, what is it that you're getting back from that? You're just paying for some guy to do something in some place that may have nothing to do with you. He's a legal consultant, but the law in every region and in every state and in even sometimes even area is completely different. Just because you know American law doesn't know you mean you know European law, and that you may know the process, you talk to this one or that one. But the point is Why those are administrative, that the region should do. If there's a need of it, the region where they have common legal things, those temples get together and, okay, we have a devotee, he used to be a lawyer, he can give advice for anyone in the zone. He stays at your temple, he's helping with you, but if another temple needs, they send him a ticket, he goes there and spends, you know, whatever it is, some weeks, tells him what to do, and then he comes back. You know, so how does that, why do you need, you don't need to be taxed? In other words, the GBC level is above the tax scene. It starts at the operational that you have administration. GBC is not an administration. If it is, okay, but what's above administration? Administration is never the top. Brahmins are the top. So they're always, oh, what are we, you know, like this and that. The Brahmins, they don't want to be Brahmins because then you don't have the control and the money. You know, but if you say, okay, we're Kshatriyas, but then you have Brahmins above you, so we don't want that, and we still don't have the money. Okay, well, there were Vaishyas, we got the money, but then we're controlled by the Kshatriyas, and we have Brahmins above that. So, therefore, you know, we don't accept Varnashram. You know, we're devotees, you know, where we do Vaishya stuff here, and we do Kshatriya stuff there, and that, and isn't it fabulous, and aren't we wonderful? But what does that have to do with reality? Who in the material world functions like that? So the whole point is, just like you have these big corporations where it's you know, there's a guy, there's a founder, he's sitting on the top. He has a CEO who's running the thing. And he just sees that it's going in the right direction. He'll discuss with him, he'll have these things. But the guy says, "As we have to do this to make the profit there, and if it's in line with, you know, the profits he wants to do, it goes." He doesn't run the thing himself. But without him, the others don't know what to do. So without the GBC, you know, how do you know if you're being Krishna conscious? You get so absorbed in your management and this and that and so many things. And they're all nice Krishna conscious stuff. But he might be able to point out how you could be more Krishna. Are you considering these things? You know, like you're getting into the festival with the temple's falling apart. Like, I remember in Calcutta, the temple president there, Prabhupada happened to come there, and I think it was around Janmashtami. And Prabhupada was there a few days. And after some days, he called the president, into his room, and asked him, "Are you chanting your rounds?" Because he saw he'd get up in the morning late because he'd be out late meeting people and raising money, and then get up, eat something, and immediately go out. And then he'd come back at 11 o'clock at night. So after a few days, Prabhupada called and said, "Are you chanting your rounds?" And he said, "No, because I'm doing the important thing of collecting money so we can have a big Janmashtami program because it's preaching." And Prabhupada's point is, if you're not chanting your rounds, what's the point of you being involved in that? Because if you're not advancing yourself personally, how are you going to make anybody else Krishna conscious? Seeing that he's the leader there. Right? So we're not talking about a congregational member who's not chanting, he comes in and he helps and, you know, he organizes something and all that. He's being sure that he's the leader. So Prabhupada was acting in that capacity as the GBC. That's the important thing, because that's the point is, advantage, there's a saying in management, you can't see the forest for the trees. You're so focused on a particular tree, you can't see all the trees and the whole program. So that's what the GBC is there for, to see that you see the tree, but you can still see the forest.
No.
And that is most important, but because it doesn't deal with man or money, you know, or power, that then is thought, oh, this is not the top. But that's not how Vaishnavas think. Krishna's the top. He's sitting in your heart. You know, he tells you what to do, but he leaves it up to you to do it. You know, it's like Krishna went on that peace mission for Yudhishthira. It's already been, Duryodhana has already said, no peace. It's going to be, you know, we're not giving anything back, you know. But Krishna said, "I'll go myself." And they'll say, "But you already know what they want." Krishna said, "No, but as God, I give them their independence. I'm going to go there, present everything, and then they can choose. And when they've chosen, then whatever they choose, that's what we'll have. If they choose peace, we'll have peace. If they choose war, we'll have war." So it's always this balance, you know? So that's the whole point of the strategic planning, is that you have to know what's what and how each one balances with the other. Otherwise, then you overdo one thing and all this and that, then, you know, then what? You know, so that's what happens. You know, it's like, you know, no, the head's the most important. Yeah, but without the body and all that, you know, someone's going to hit you in the head with the baseball bat, you know, like that. So the arm's the most important. Stomach says, you know, well, you know, like that, you know, I say, vices say, yeah, but without the legs, you can't move around. So we're the most important. The stomach, then the stomach will say, yeah, but if I don't, you know, distribute energy to everybody, then that. So therefore, the head should work out how to get food. The hand should be giving the food, and the leg should be running around to get food, because the stomach is the most important. Right? That's the corporate model. So that's why it's a descending process. It's not how we want it to be. It's how it already is, it already has been, and always will be. In other words, it's what is the absolute truth? This is not just, we're just doing some practical, but practical is not in line with spiritual philosophy. So that's the thing, is many will think, philosophy, that's not practical. No, it's a science. That means it can be applied. If you don't apply it, of course, then you don't get the benefit. But that's what makes the difference between science and art. Art is just how it's applied. Science is why it's applied, what it affects, how it works. So Prabhupada has given us the whole science. That's what he says, the complete science of Krishna consciousness. You know? He's given that.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Yes, yes.
So we simply have to apply it. And that itself will take us all of our effort and all of our endeavor. You know? All of our endeavor. Does that make sense? You know, so
yes.
So we have to understand what's what. Then once we understand, then everybody can go ahead and work. Because basically everybody that's involved in the system today, in our leadership and in the movement, are qualified to do their actual positions. Right? It's just they have to do that and not something else. So the GBC are qualified to be GBC. You think about them, they're all are like, you know, spiritual leaders. You think of them, many of them as sadhus, and that they're the best at. So that's what they should be doing. And then those who are dealing on the temple levels and all that, these are your best managers in the movement. Of hundreds and thousands of devotees, they're the ones that can lead in that. They know how to do this. You know, and then somebody's a Pujari or a Sankirtan leader and this and that, they know how to do that on that tactical level, and they're the best. Because it was, but before, people used to discuss that. You know, Sankirtan's going on in this temple, Sankirtan's going on in that temple's getting really good results, then they would discuss with all the other temples. So you don't have to have a Sankirtan minister, because what's happening is all the jobs that the GBC should do, they're making into ministries. But the GBC is there. Yes, are they going out on Harina? Are they doing these things? You know, it's not rocket science. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. If you want to discuss management, it's a big book, this fact. But if you have someone who themselves is a manager, he says, we have a temple here. We have devotees. We want to do this and that. This is what we're trying to do. He'll get in there, figure out what men, who can do what, how much money we have, and what we can do today. And then, like, this is the plan after, you know, 1 year this, and after 5 years that. It doesn't take. That's the point. We preach, and everybody comes from every background. So we have leaders coming from wherever they're coming, and they can lead. But there needs to be training, not in details of management. That you learn from a manager. Like, if you want yogurt, you want to make yogurt, where do you get it from? Yogurt. Right?
Yeah.
But you don't get it from something else. Right? So the whole thing is what's being created here with all these things is a bureaucracy. A bureaucracy assists administrative leadership. In other words, bureaucracy is lower than leadership in administration. And above leadership and administration is that brahminical feature of being Krishna conscious. Does that make sense? So that means that bureaucracy is lower. You know? And so that's the difficulty, is when he's trying to make the bureaucracy the top. That's straight animal farm. Remember, it was a group of pigs. They got rid of one farmer, and then you had 20, 30 pigs. Now they become the bureau.
But Maharaj, the idea is to create bureaucracy, which is below the GBC, but above the temple presidents. and the yatras. In between, like for...
Yes, but the thing is you have to know how bureaucracy works. Bureaucracy is not above the temple presidents. It's below the GVC. In other words, they may have things that they study and work out and they want them to do stuff like that, you know, like that. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin or whatever it is. Then they give that information to the GVC. The GVC is the one that interacts with the temple president. Otherwise, they have to have the people. It's okay. We can take a different scenario. If they want to do it like this, great. How did, when Prabhupada made the original GVC, you know, when there were 24 GVC, you know, I first started with 12 and it went up to 24. Now, on that GVC, you had a minister, right? Jagadish Prabhu was the minister of education, right?
Yeah.
He was a GVC. He wasn't a bureaucrat below the GVC. Ministers, you want to do of the GVC, you want somebody to specialize in an area, great. But they all have to have the qualification of a GVC man, have the weight, have the voting power. In other words, if they're coming into the temple to deal with you on a bureaucratic element on behalf of the GVC, then and you don't see the GVC, where's the spiritual input that the GVC is for? Because the point is there's a good chance that bureaucrat knows less about the situation than the local man who's managing them. Right? Are they taking old temple presidents that have been presidents for 20, 30 years and making them the bureaucrat? Or they're taking somebody who's good at sitting behind a computer?
Sitting behind a computer.
So what's his authority over someone who can manage? So in other words, you see is that the system won't work because it's taking the worst from everything. It means even you want to take the corporate. Okay, you want to take the corporate. You have the board of directors, right? But when you have the board of directors, you also have the shareholders. So that means the shareholders can vote people out of the board. So if they want to go corporate, that means in a temple, all the devotees can vote whether they want that GVC or not, or that bureaucrat or not. If they want to go, but they don't want to go, then no, we know we have the absolute authority, then work on absolute principles. That means it starts from the top, it's spiritual. Then it comes down into administrative. Because that's the whole point. Temple presidents, they have a bureaucracy. That's why you have a secretary and you have a treasurer. That's the your bureaucrats. You know? They may be leaders, but they have guys under them. The cashier in this, they don't know how money works. That's why he said a treasurer, not an accountant. An accountant knows how to keep the books. That's it. He doesn't know any bigger than that, how money works. Treasurer has to know how money works. Does that make sense? So in other words, the bureaucracy is within the temples. And between temples in a zone, they can share that bureaucratic understandings. Before, temples used to share. Someone knew something really good, then that person went and shared with others and showed them how to do. If it's really small, he comes, does it himself, and if it's bigger, he shows somebody how they can do it. And then with time, now you have two people who can do that. So you see, it's a very straightforward system. This other thing, how many people? So it's just like this. Okay, let's take in America. Right, you had your executive board like that, and you had some other things that were taking care of things. Then something's problems there, so they make another committee to watch that and take care of something else. And now, let us say there's a crime scene. Three, four, five different government boards show up and say that they're in charge here. The local police is there, and he says, okay, this is my seat, you know, this is my city, and so I'm in charge of this crime. Then the state police comes along, says, no, this is too big for you. The state police are taking over this, you know, you're just the local city police. Then you're going to have, this is the federal level. Now it's the national thing, like this and that. So we're in charge. Then the next guy comes along and says, no, I'm just.
It's freeze.
Yeah, it looks like Marge's internet has gone out. It could be the current went down. So we just wait.
Patrick, you were asking the schedule. So we go with this four levels of strategic planning, but it takes the direction according to questions. So this year we don't send the study material like last year, and it will be then formulated a little still after this. But if you have a questions, then.
I have a question.
So let's just wait when Maharaj comes there, and then I will still shortly introduce you, and but let's see, now there's some technical. Where are you now?
My humble obeisances to all the Vaishnava.
Where are you now?
I am on the top of Himalayas.
Really? So you have a good, you can hear everything there.
Good connection here. I have connection.
Yeah. So when he has finished this question, then you can make your one. But let's wait until the technicality is back. It starts to interrupt when there are more traffic on the internet somewhere in this moment.
Should we turn off the cameras then?
It's got nothing to do with the traffic because everybody else is working okay at the moment. It's just that because now Marge is using his computer, then if the electricity goes, then until the generator kicks in and everything starts up again, he won't be able to speak. But it's working better for him than using his phone, which is
the power has come. It will take only 3 minutes.
Sorry?
Maybe I have a proposal.
The power has come back. It will take 2 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Haladan Tabu.
Patrick, what you were on the way to say?
Well, meanwhile, if these things happen, we can fill up the gap by sharing feedback and understanding. What did we understand? Everybody, you know, Buddhayantas Parasparam. So two-way traffic will make things in Dhyasana. We can contemplate deeper and understand. What did we understand? Like that. So that's maybe.
Yeah, we have been doing this already. This is maybe strategic planning Vaishnava version, the third year. So we have been going before through this four levels. And then. Making it clear that the strategy is what Prabhupada has already established. And what normally is the misconception of the business model is that they take the technique, which you know, as an old artillery, you know, commander, is the technique is just what weapons you are using to get the goal, but it's not actually, it's not strategy. So this making them as synonymous is what weapons you are using or what technique you are using to get the aim, but it's not called strategic planning. It's called technical skills. So either you use Panzerwaffen or artillery or the combination, that's not the strategy. So that mistake has happened many times, and then we kind of may end up even to the situation where we think we can change the strategy. So then, you know, what is Prabhupada needed? So that's the problem of that. But we don't go with that Western style of too much the feedback during the seminar like that, just the questions and answers, and then we can assembly with us separately if needed. So that in general. Is there better now with Maharaj's connection? We don't know.
I think that what Prabhu was suggesting was just while we're waiting to have that kind of discussion, just to fill the gap. That's all.
I just meant now we have a gap. So far, what did you discuss? as a recap, just what did you discuss just now for 15, 20 minutes? What did we understand?
I already summarized that basically. So it was already there and so on. Yeah, so. Hello, Danny. Tai, can you introduce yourself? Somehow or another, your name is familiar, but at the same time.
Hello, Danny. Tai was working on the curriculum with Marge and has worked on this, the paper that Marge is sharing at the moment. So.
Yeah. Now we recognize you. Introduce yourself to the others, you know. I mean, we hear you every day when the seminar is going on, but someone has the name.
Hi, Peter.
So, just introduce yourself.
So myself, I'm Haladhar Nitai Das. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're working with the study material.
So myself, I'm Haladhar Nitai Das. Yeah, I'm working with the study material with Maharaj. And recently Maharaj mentioned to me about this course and all. So I've been helping him in this preparing this course material also in getting the nice proper words according to the context. And then I'm just assisting Maharaj in preparing this material. So Maharaj suggested me to be present in this seminar so that then we can, according to all of your suggestions and then how the discussion goes, we can modify again the course material because it's not yet fully developed. Now we are in the process of like improving it more and more. So that's the reason.
Maharaj is back now.
Okay, Maharaj is back. Welcome back, Maharaj.
So that means anything goes on. Okay. So Narakriti, is that clear how it should be? Because like you said, even you try these other things, how are they going to maintain that? You know, they'll make a point, well, what governance in the world doesn't have a budget, this and that. But there are governance of Brahmins. Have you ever heard that at Radha Kund when all the senior Vaishnavas would get together, you know, because that would be the original GBC, and they had a budget? You know what I'm saying? That's not the important thing, you know? So that's the point, is who's listed in our parampara. Those were all the presidents of the Vishnu Vaishnav Raja Sabha. So it started with Rupa Goswami, then came down to Krishnadas Kavi, Jiva Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, then Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, Bhaktivinoda, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda. This is how it came. They were the head of the thing. Just like we have a GBC, there's a head. But the point is what are they doing? Whatever they like? No, what Lord Chaitanya gave. So it's a very important to understand these things are already in place. Because the point is this bureaucracy means whatever the GBC, they are not doing, if they're thinking of managers, then they need all these people to do the management for them. Why aren't they managing it? Right? They're doing it for them. And so it sounds very nice if you're enamored by Capitol Hill. But the point is because of the bureaucracy, it gets that. And what is there? There's also the judicial. Remember, if you're going to use this democratic model, like we said before, if you want to use the corporate model, then you have shareholders above you, right? And if you want to use the governmental model, the whole thing is the bureaucracy is one of three. Then you have the executive, and then you have the judicial. You know, and since we don't run by a single acharya, therefore, then they have to see is that they have to be doing, that's the whole point. They're doing these things. So the bureaucratic, then these are just so no one has so much power, but at the same time, they're being used to force power. So the thing is they'll always have a difficulty using these models because they're not clearly any one model. It's just you take what little bit sounds good and impresses you from whatever. But the point is descending. It's already there. You see how it comes down to you. Then once it gets to you, where do I fit in? Does that make sense? Yes? No? Very good.
Thank you, Maharaj. Yes, it's makes sense. Thank you very much.
So in other words, what we're discussing here doesn't change the position or authority of GBC. It actually puts them again in a position of authority that they lost in 87. Right? In other words, by the maneuvers that went on in 87, they changed the GBC, but in the process, they lost the position of authority. No one was an authority anymore. Right? And so that's the whole point. If this gives them that authority that they're supposed to have that is given by the Sampradaya, as well as it gives to the presidents their authority. It gives to the temple, officers their authority. And at the same time, it gives the individual their position, and so they see the whole thing together, and so they can function within it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing. That's the perfection of the Vedic system. It works for everyone. Otherwise, capitalism only works for the capitalists. For everybody else, it doesn't really work. Socialism only works for the Shudras. It doesn't work for anyone else. You know, dictatorship only works for that administrator. It doesn't work for anyone else. And anarchy doesn't work for anybody. Nobody gets better.
Yeah.
So the Vedic system, then everybody gets their benefit because everybody knows what they do and where they are. And this whole thing of trying to, pick and choose, I want the respect of the Brahmin and all that, but I want the administrative authority of the Kshatriya, and I want all the money of the Vaishya, but at the same time, I want that kind of the standards are not so much expected, so that I can kind of whimsically do whatever I feel like a Shudra, and I don't have responsibility like the Brahmacharya is someone else's thing, but I'm completely independent. I do whatever I like in the way of my facilities and that as a Grihastha, but I have that, senior position, and I can get right into the details of the gossip and all that and control that as a Vanaprastha. But at the same time, I have that respect and worship and aloof authority of the sannyasis. Now, doesn't that sound perfect? Yeah. So that's the point. If you take that approach, you will always fail. It's God's kingdom, not ours.
Yeah.
So this idea, well, Prabhupada's from the spiritual world, he doesn't know what goes on here. Like that, Hamilton said stuff like that. It's very popular. God, they deified God and like this and the other. They're spiritual. We don't want it like that. But we're here. We run here. No, every atom is Krishna. In every atom is Krishna. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now in this, I got a bit of a break while my computer was redoing. Did everybody else get a bit of a break? Do they need to go to the bathroom or this or that? Go. I said they check the refrigerator out or no. Shall we continue or should we take a few minutes break? Or we have another hour to one. My one. Your, I'm not sure what time. Everybody.
Let me raise the hand those who need the break. Just put the raise hand. Certainly those who need the break.
Or just turn off your camera and walk away.
looks like there is not so much.
Okay.
Dr. Prabhu, you had Patria came just, he had to race first up to the Himalayas in order to get a good connection. So he's the regional secretary of Nepal and has been living there in India, Nepal for the last 20 years before he was the artillery officer in the other side of this border there. So Patria Prabhu, you joined first time this seminar since I thought it's really something familiar for you, one sense from the karmic background. So kindly just make your question if you, since you said you have one.
Thank you very much. I would like, first of all, I'd like to offer my humble obeisances to Maharaj. Please kindly accept my humble obeisances. I really privileged to be amongst all of you. And it's a very nice discussion and very relevant, actually. I have a question quickly. All of we familiar with the situation and statement of Srila Prabhupada when he was leaving, and Giriraj Maharaj was asking him what is most important. And Prabhupada said, organization, right? We have to be very well organized. One of the questions. And what is it, at the same time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he wrote famous article, organized religion produces putanas. So where is that balance? And because we can see left and right, and myself personally, dealing on national level, I do have some interaction with GBC, and sometimes conflict is there because sometimes they're not here and we are hands-on day and day out. And sometimes they're coming and telling us what to do without even understanding what's happening here. And as Maharaj mentioned, who is above GBC? Are they administrative organ or are they just simply on Brahminical level? And at the same time, what does it mean organization and how not to fall into the area of creating putanas?
Okay.
What is that helping us?
So let's go into the next section here that deals with the next sections deal with this what you're talking about. So we have to set the in other words, to discuss this, there's some basics that we need to appreciate. So now we're talking about the functional, the next section is functional mechanism of strategic planning. So planning is a process of proactive decision making that we do in advance of implementing action. Right? So that's what the plan is, right? But you have to, the plan has to be based on something. Quote, Lord Krishna, by his quadruple expansion, Vasudeva, Sankarsha, Prajumna, and Aniruddha, is the Lord of psychic action, namely thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. Right? That's from Bhagavatam 4:24-36 purport. So then you have in here, Lord Sankarshan, the master of ego, which involves the psychological process of thinking, establishes the field of knowledge required for action. Lord Prajumna, the master of intelligence, which involves the psychological process of feeling, establishes the right attitude and qualities required for accomplishment of action. Lord Aniruddha, the master of mind, which involves the psychological process of willing, establishes the goal of action. Lord Vasudeva, the master of chitta or consciousness, which involves the psychological process of acting, establishes the process of implementation, right? Because you have thinking, feeling, and willing. So thinking, Sankarshan, feeling, Prajumna, and willing, Aniruddha. All three of those together are applied in acting. So in other words, the qualities of Sankarshan, meaning the field, the knowledge and field of action, the intelligence and the proper attitude and qualities, that has to then be applied, and you have to know the goal of what you want to gain. All that together is applied as action. That's why Vasudeva is the scene, you know, in this, the central point. Even though they're all four Chaturvyuha all have the same qualities. But the point is for uniqueness and for carrying these things out for the pastimes, then Krishna will do one particular aspect by Sankarshan, another aspect by Prajumna, another aspect by Aniruddha. And then as Vasudeva, then he does the pastimes, the pastimes with the devotees. And you see is that Sankarshan has pastimes with devotees and Prajumna and Aniruddha. So they all are in that position they can do, but when the four are together, then each one plays a particular role. Acting necessitates the harmonious and simultaneous action, application of the three psychological processes of thinking, feeling, and willing. So this is very important, is that your ultimate point, it has to have all of them together. Right? In other words, for Vasudeva to be applied, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha are all there harmoniously working together. So that means your operational, tactical, and technical are harmoniously working. Then you have the accomplishment of his strategy or Vasudev. You know, because that's the real action is Krishna consciousness. Other things are mechanics. I have a fire. I have a pot on the fire. I have something in the pot. I have a spoon in the pot. I have my hand holding the pot, and my hand is being pushed by my arm around in the pot. That's the mechanics. It doesn't matter what I'm cooking, that won't change. I could be cooking vegetarian. I could be cooking not vegetarian, you know, like that. Yeah, and amazingly, even vegan can be cooked that way. And then it comes down to, am I offering it to Krishna or not? So offering it to Krishna, doing it for Krishna, that's the actual dynamic. That's the strategy. The operational or mechanical means that's why we can take things from the material world that we see around us and use them in our operational, tactical, and technical. But the point is if they're not in pursuance of and supportive of the strategy, they're useless. So that has to be seen is that Vasudeva is the central figure. He's the Lila Purusha because he's the one that Sankarshankarjuna and Aniruddha are assisting or serving. With that. So superficially we see, okay, this is another quote from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 252. Superficially, we see that these Purushas, Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, had a relationship with Maya. But above them, in the fourth dimension, is Lord Krishna, Vasudeva, who has no contact with material energy. Right? So then you're going to see is, yes, the operational, the tactical, and the technical are working down, you know, with the field of action in, you know, interacting with the material world. But the point is their whole purpose is the strategy, Vasudeva, which is above all. And so if the operational, tactical, and technical aren't in pursuance of the strategy, they're mundane. But because they're in pursuance of serving Vasudeva, that makes them spiritual. That's the whole point. I'm cooking. I'm doing it for Krishna. It's spiritual. I'm not doing it for Krishna's material. But the technique is no different. I can go and buy a Karmi recipe book and take recipes from that and cook for Krishna. So it has to be understood here what you're dealing with. And if you don't see the strategy, because otherwise you'll say, but then what is the GBC doing? What's the bit? That's the whole point. If you don't see that, then why are you in leadership position? Right? On any level. If you can't see the importance of the strategy and how everyone's working for the strategy, you should not be in a leadership role unless your leadership role is tactical or technical, where even if you don't understand, it still works. But someone above you has to understand. Very, very important. Thus, all actions at the universal level, samasti, and at the individual level, vyasti, must be directed for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, Vasudeva, in order to attain the transcendental abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right, so now we're introducing a Vedantic aspect here. Samasti and Vyasti. Samasti means universal, means how Krishna sees everything. And Vyasti means the individual, means us from our position, how we see in our connection with Krishna. This is very key for understanding the relationship between the organization and the individual. Right? Because it's a balance. You don't see it properly, then it gets out of balance. It's not harmonious. Similarly, within the spiritual organization, the function of both the organization and the individual should be geared towards attaining the goal of pleasing Krishna. In other words, both have to be, it's about pleasing Krishna. It's not that organization is about controlling individuals, and individuals have to please Krishna. No, the organization is trying to please Krishna through organizing the individuals. It's not about controlling the individuals, it's about organizing them. And so to organize, there must be discipline. That means everybody should be disciplined. Right? So that's the advantage in a Brahminical organization is that you don't need a very strong system of discipline because people are self-disciplined because of the Brahminical aspect. And they have their seniors that point out, hey, this is wrong. And so then the individual corrects it. This will be effective only when there's mutual interdependence and harmony between the organization and the individual. point is the organization is made out of individuals. Individuals work for the organization. You have to see both. Many times you see those who only see the individual. It's already about the individual. What about the individual? That's out of balance. Or no, it's the institution. I'm an institutional man. And it's about the institution. Individuals don't matter. They're both wrong. They're both wrong. You have to see the balance. Thus, the relationship between organization and individual is that of simultaneous oneness and difference. Achintya Veda Veda. Right? That's our philosophy. That's how we hold everything together. As an organization is the combination of cooperative effort of individuals. Consequently, its application does not exist independently without the involvement of the individual. Whilst individuals must necessarily engage themselves in the context of the organizational structure, the organizational structure must necessarily be instituted for the purpose of nourishing and uplifting the individuals. Therefore, both the individuals and the organization achieve ultimate prosperity only through their mutual cooperation. So in other words, the individual is cooperating with the organization, and the organization is trying to see how to best involve and nourish the individuals. In the Bhagavad Gita 3.11, this is the demigods being pleased by sacrifice will also please you, and thus by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. Lord Krishna explains this aspect by advising Arjuna that in order to achieve ultimate success in whatever we do, we need to honor the principle of mutual dependence through the performance of yajna, which is the basis of sustenance of the world. So in other words, the organization is organizing opportunities for yajna, and individuals are willingly taking part in the performance of yajna. That's the relationship. That makes sense? So now some details of that, so it'll be more, a little more clear.
Can you repeat? Sorry, this is a statement. Organization organizing yajna.
The individual organization is organizing yajna on a grand scale. Like everybody can sit in their house and do Janmashtami, right? But the organization does a Janmashtami program on a grand scale that hundreds of thousands, or let's say like Bombay, hundreds, literally, I think last year or something, it was 700,000 people came for darshan. That takes serious organization, right? So you can do something on a grand scale, but it's about engaging individuals in that yajna. And the individuals are seeing how they can be engaged within the context of this organizational, that it makes it successful. The organization is just, we're just having this program so that we can make money. Then, you know, what's the point? And the individual is just thinking, what I can get out of it. You know, I'll come, I eat a ton of prasad, bring my whole family, bring tikvahs, get as much as I can, take it home, and then we got prasad for the next week. You know, so everybody's just thinking about themselves, it won't work. The organization is how to engage individuals. The individual is how they can take part in that organization to do something nice for Krishna. Right? So it's all about yajna. It's all trying to serve the Supreme Lord. So that's why strategy is the top, pleasing the Lord. Then the organization of, on a big level, or yajna, that's the operation. And then the individuals in their position that they take part in. Wherever they fit. Yeah. Okay, I'll move on because it appears that it's become a little cold in Nepal there. Application of strategic planning at the individual level. In order to free oneself from the current miserable position within the material world, and to fulfill the purpose and ultimate goal of human life by attaining love of God, one needs to apply the strategic planning in one's own life as follows. So at the strategic level, because we're talking about how all four levels apply to the individual, then we'll see how all four levels apply to the organization. So strategy, attaining love of Godhead. So that will have within it Sambandha, Abhidaya, and Prayojan, our relationship process to consult. Sambandha, establishing one's eternal relationship with Krishna by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. Abhideya, acting in that relationship by strictly practicing the principles established by the Vaishnavacharyas while performing all of one's activities simply for the satisfaction of Krishna. Prayojana, the perfection of life, to obtain pure unalloyed devotional service to Krishna and thus take the deep mellows of bhakti rasa. So that's the strategy, right? So you can see is that the Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana we always talk about, that's the strategy. You know, and that purpose is develop love of God. So, like that, very, very important. But we take it, the strategy is, you know, okay, so what are we going to do for book distribution this next year? So that's operation. And you're discussing what's going to be the tactical and technical. Does that make sense? The whole point is book distribution is there because it's one of the seven purposes of ISKCON. To educate people in general, you know, about Krishna consciousness. Like that. So that's the strategy. Then book distribution is the particular one that works for that. And then you're going to look at the tactical, you know, okay, when, how many people, where, when, what times, and then the technical. Okay, you know, how many books, how many vans, who's going to be in which van, and this brahmacharis and this one, and that one's and that one, and these grahasthas will take care of this. Like that. But so we see So the Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, that's what you're trying to obtain. Operational on the individual level. By personally taking shelter of the process established by the founder Acharya, 16 rounds, four regular principles, morning evening program, one's allotted devotional services, etc., in order to attain the desired strategy. In other words, how to move forward in developing love for Krishna. Tactical, to analyze and assess. Oh, this is access. Assesses, I think, with double yeses, to analyze and assess how to accomplish the operational principles according to one's own situation. So what's going to see is, okay, my situation, when I'm going to check my rounds, how am I going to get it, when am I going to be able to read and all these things. That's tactical. Like that. And then technical, planning out one's schedule for accomplishing the tactical goal. Okay, I'm going to get up in the morning at this time, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to chant here, I'm going to read there, and then in the evening I'll do this, and then 3 days a week, I'm going to do like this, and then on Sunday, I can do like this. So that's all that. Does that make sense? So we see as the individual, he also applies himself within the strategic planning within his life. Right? He has to be know what the goal is, how, what is it he's been given to do, you know, his services and that, and then how he's going to best accomplish that, and then seeing that, make his direct, immediate plan. So in other words, the planning is your basically your technical point. Then institutional application of strategic plan, right? So this is the other aspect. An institution has to consider two applications of the process, that of the individual and that of the organization, right? The individual, they're seeing how what I do. And of course, then what is that, how that is in context of the organizational. In application, we must consider how the individual and institution are both progressing towards the attainment of the strategy. The individual should perceive their position and service in the context of how it assists in the development within themselves, and how their particular service and duties engage them in the context of the organizational structure, right? So how it assists in development within themselves is what we discussed before, how the individual applies it. But now on the organizational, then that individual has to also see that their particular service and duties engage them in the context of the organizational structure. The organization, next point, the organizational goals must not only measure the overall progress of the movement, but also individual progress. So you can see how is the temple moving forward, how is the distribution going forward, but we also have to be able to see that the individual involved is also moving forward, thus helping the members to become responsible, confident, and independently thoughtful, right? Prabhupada wanted people to be independently thoughtful. That's why he was not so keen on centralization. And centralization was trying to be established twice or more while Prabhupada was present. And there's one place where Prabhupada says, You're doing this again. I already said don't do this. You know? And then, you know, it was brought up before in the previous question. That again, we're trying to do, create this centralized bureaucracy problem. Didn't want it. It's not necessary. Temples already have a bureaucracy. Zone means your regions or zones that are in that countries can work together with their bureaucracy. Because some things, one temple doesn't need all departments and other temples can help. The role of leadership is the main, so those are the two areas that the institution has to look at. How the organization is developing, so it's getting its goals and individuals are progressing. And the individual has to be able to see that they're progressing personally and have that their service, their duties are actually helping push forward the organization. Right? Remember that Achinta Beta Beta Tattva. You can't separate. The role of leadership, okay, in this organizational aspect is maintenance of a harmonious balance between the individual and the organizational goals at all levels of strategic planning, ensuring an organic and steady growth of the movement. That's the leadership at that point. So it has to see, so that means the GBC is seeing to that, the temple president is seeing to that, you know, the tactical leader is seeing to that, or the department head is seeing to that. Everybody has to see to that. Therefore, for an organization to be successful, there's a dire necessity of ideal leadership at the primary, strategic and operational level that would ensure actualization of both the individual and organizational goals, as well as to administer and provide support for the members' personal progress on the path of self-realization. Right? So they have to be able to see the overall picture, how that works, how is it moving forward, how the individuals. So that's the point. You have to see all of that. Otherwise, you're not actually seeing properly. Like sometimes you see is leadership then tries to go past the local authority and deal directly with the devotees and then work out plans just with the devotees without the local leaders. So that means they're not seeing the organization. They can say it's about an organization, but they're not, because organizational happens at the operational platform, right? At the same time, you have individuals who try to do their own thing. They don't care about the organization. So it's very important. That's why leadership must be able to see what is the strategy and how it applies to everybody, who can see that on the biggest level, they can have the highest leadership positions. And who can see that, understand that, and work with that at a very practical organizational level, they see to the operation. Therefore, okay. The leadership may use management as a functional tool in realizing the goals, vision, and mission of the organization. However, excessive focus on management without evaluating whether it's lending oneself. Oh, that's leading, should be lending oneself. Oh, no, excuse me, leading. Whether it is leading oneself and others towards attaining the strategic and operational goals will cripple the entire organization. So if you focus on management and don't see if that's actually getting a benefit for the individual and for the institution, you will cripple the entire organization. So we see sometimes administration can't even function because so much effort is put into management and bureaucracy that you can't actually run it. So that's why you have to see, is it useful for actually obtaining the strategy? Does it fit into the criterion at the structure that's given in the strategy by the acharya? They may take assistance of others in managing the organizational affairs, but should themselves oversee that the contribution of those assistants is having a positive impact on the progress of the organization and the individuals involved. So in other words, whatever level you're at, you have assistance. You have to see, is the assistant attaining the particular, you know, strategic goals? And you have to see, is that individual personally developing? But otherwise, if it's just a matter of, oh, we've given that to them. Oh, but Prabhu, what about this and that? Oh, I don't know. That's been given to a subcommittee. What's the point? Then how is that leadership if you're not in control or seeing what's going on in that subcommittee or that office or that ministry. And you have to see, are those individuals in the midst, are they advancing Krishna consciousness? Are they who they're dealing with? Is it getting an effectiveness? Are they becoming Krishna conscious? So if we see that, then it's just a fight between the bureaucracy and the management. Then we see is that this is absolutely useless. So it's not an effective method. And so therefore, then one wouldn't use it because no one's advancing personally and the movement's not advancing. Thus, the leader should have a clear vision on how to accomplish the strategic goals and should know the difference between the essential substance and its accompanying secondary forms. In other words, you have to know the primary. Then you can, when that's clear, then the secondary, how that supports. But otherwise, if you can't tell the difference, you shouldn't be at that level of leadership. In other words, how much you can put the two together and see them, that high you should rise in the hierarchy. And when you can see everything together clearly, then you can work at that level. Okay, they must understand this so as to decrease the burden of unnecessarily managerial affairs. In other words, if you're a professional manager, you've missed the point. We're professional, spiritualists. That's what we're professionals at. And these others, we manage, we preach, we do deity worship, we do all those because it assists in our spiritual development. But if we take it that no, management is my identity and all this, you've missed the point. It's a new upadhi. Sarvupadhi vinir muktam. You're supposed to give up upadhis. That doesn't mean you don't use it. If you think, oh, but then if we don't have it, then we don't do it. That's Mayavad. Mayavad says, God's not a person, and therefore we don't have to deal with any of this personal thing. I don't want anything in this world I don't deal with. So that's Falgu Vairagya. They're giving up something that's not theirs to give up. It's already Krishna. So we're doing things in how it pleases Krishna. Krishna wants things done in a certain way. Do it in that way. So we don't have to come up with something new. Like that, because otherwise you have to be very, very careful of these upadhis. Otherwise, then again, you know, we're American, we're Indian, we're European, we're this, we're that, you know, but then you give that up. Now I'm a manager, I'm a Uma, I'm a this, then we just got new upadhis. We have to be very, very careful. It means, like someone uses a brahmachari ashram as service. He doesn't identify, I'm a brahmachari. I'm spirit soul. I'm doing the duties of a brahmachari, therefore I'll do them very nicely. Like Arjuna, he did the duties of a kshatriya on the battlefield very nicely, but he doesn't identify with them. They should also be careful not to change the principles, but may adjust details where applicable. In other words, the primary never changes. Like this idea, oh, we don't need temples anymore, we only need communities. That's changing the principle. Who said that? Prabhupada didn't say that. The six Goswamis, did they each one establish a temple? Right? And the temple is still valued today. So this whole thing, oh, we don't need temples, it's a new age, you know, it's the dawning of the age of Aquarius, so we don't need temples anymore. You know, we become more elevated and, you know, less organizational at the same time, and we're trying to establish a bureaucracy. So the whole point is we have to be very, very careful. Is that you can't change what Prabhupada gave. But details, that you can change, how many people go out of Sankirtan, how many books they do, what books they're going to do, what area, what time of day, those things you're going to adjust. This area, big books don't work. That area, big books work. You know, that you work out. Okay, so they should be careful not to change the principles, but may adjust details where applicable, according to the time, place, and circumstance, which aptly support the strategic and operational goals. In other words, how it supports and the goals are actually being attained, then it's useful. So it's dynamic. It's always an ongoing looking at and analyzing. Is it moving forward? Is it working? Just like if you're cooking, you're analyzing. Is the preparation cooking? Is it starting to... you know, look like what I'm trying to get at the end. You know, like that. So that's the whole thing. You know, you're always analyzing. So anyone who practically works and is successful in dealing with the material energy, you know, or spiritual energy knows this. And this idea that, no, we decided it's like this, or people don't do that anymore and stuff, this is all nonsense. So the role of leadership at various levels, strategic, to oversee that the personal development of individual operational heads and the outcome of their projects is in line with the strategic goals, right? So that's the role of leadership at the strategic level. There to see that those dealing with operational, like presidents and that is actually their outcome of their projects and the individuals within that is moving forward in that line. That's their business. At the operational level, then leadership is to oversee the personal development of the individual tactical heads and the functioning of the departments is in line with the operational and strategic goals. Tactical, to oversee that the personal development of the individuals within their departments and their services in line with the tactical and operational goals. And the technical, this level is not a managerial level. And that's the fun part, is mostly all this being discussed in meetings is this technical level, and it's not a managerial level, and they'll call it management. It is the practical application of a particular individual skill under the direction of the tactical authority. Right, so the strategy is seeing that they themselves and the operational heads and their projects are in line with the strategy. The operational head sees that what he's doing is in line with the strategy. He himself is in line with the strategy, and the department heads under him and that are in line with the strategy. The tactical guys then below the operational, they're seeing that they themselves are in line, and the people working with them are in line, and it's moving towards the operational. And then the individual sees that he himself is in line and what he's doing is in line. So we see it works very, very nicely. It's very, very clear. The overlaps aren't a problem, right? The point is if there's no overlap, how does it work? I have a spoon and in the spoon, there is something to eat. And so that part of the spoon overlaps into my mouth. It's not a problem. You say, no, there can be no, it has to be, there's this and this and there's no contact. Then how does it get in your mouth? But if I try to stuff the whole spoon in my mouth, there's a problem. So there's an overlap between the spoon with the food and my mouth. And it works. So therefore, we see there's overlaps here. But that is defined very clearly. It works very nicely. And then everything works very well. Right? So now this is just you could say the introduction of the whole thing. So the conclusion here. The four levels of strategic planning thus help us systematically delineate and accomplish the goals of an organization where the succeeding levels ensure effective implementation of the preceding level's objectives. Right? Succeeding, right? Means I have here the goal, the next one is trying to get that, the next one is trying to get that, the next one is trying to get that. So the fourth one is trying to attain the third, the second, the first. So the more everyone understands how everything is geared towards getting that first point, the better everything goes. However, as stated before, there's a difference in approach in the strategic plan among different organizations, because of differences in their ultimate goals and aspirations. The political organization has protection and administration of the people as their strategic element, aiming at security, peace, and material prosperity. In other words, that's their strategy. But it may not guarantee spiritual enlightenment of individuals, which is the main strategic goal of a spiritual organization. You can have a very nicely organized department, administration, but it's not God conscious. Just like in Transylvania, Vlad, you know, after he became a little bit annoyed, he managed it very well.
Yeah, once again, March is frozen.
Okay, so last few minutes we'll be on the phone unless the internet comes back.
Okay. So we see that the political organization that is strategy is security and peace and material prosperity for the citizens, right? So, but at the same time as the spiritual development, which is that organizations only have profit, has been engaging individuals in the tactical and tactical aspects of the strategy. Because the businessman is not going to let their general people in on what their business tactics are, because if they do, they'll go off and make the profit, right? You know, it's very, very often those things happen. So therefore, they only engage people in tactical and technical. So that's why the organizations do not care for the emotional, mental, or spiritual needs of individuals at all, right? They only worry about as much as will get profit. If by showing that you care about them, emotional, mental, or spiritual, then makes them get more profit, then they'll use it, right? Neither are they actually worried about the societal necessities as pointed out by Nobel Prize winning economist Milton Friedman in 1970, that the only social responsibility of a business is to increase its profits. It means in the social structure, it's only business is that, right? Arta, it's only meant to increase Arta. It doesn't have another purpose. That's why human beings have to function above Arta and Dharma. That's where human life begins. Thus, a spiritual organization can never actualize its strategic goals if it follows a corporate model. You can say, oh, we can take what's useful. Yes, but then that works at the tactical and technical. But you have to see is you have to be using a here. So then, yeah. Hence, ISKCON, as an organization wholly meant for spiritual development, has no need to mimic a political or corporate strategy, but would naturally follow an educational model aiming at pure bhakti, right? So even the educational is not enough if it's not aimed at pure bhakti, right? So therefore, we're using educational model aimed at pure bhakti. All other models will fall short because they don't accommodate everything else, right? But you see is that the political model can work in cooperation with the brahminical model, the educational. Those two together then make it work. But the point is when you have it working like that, administrative is brahminical, and working in cooperation with that, and the strategy is brahminical, that's called the brahminical strategic plan, the introduction like that. Okay, so are there any questions so far on this? Because we have, let's see, a little under 20 minutes. Did we freeze?
I've had this with your camera, Marge, because it was just
anything going on.
Patrick, did you heard the Up to Himalayas the reply, and do you have still something to this question? It needed a little background since that's the product. Patrici, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. It's fluctuating a little bit. Sound is a little bit unclear.
That is the technique, you know, technical problem. Maharaj, could I ask a little bit still about the cooperation between different authorities like GPC, temple presidents, specialists? It's like kind of a, you know, like let's say here, there was just some time ago about there was some what they call comprehensive security, you know, training about 25,000 people involved. And there was authorities, so-called Karmi leaders and managers, not so-called, but Karmi leaders and managers from 14 different organizations, like, you know, mayors, political leaders, military leaders, police leaders, healthcare, transportation, so many different. And they are cooperating the way that it gets really good result. But it's kind of when you go talk to that, it's actually kind of a prominical consensus there between the main ones. There is no one who only do that. So what I've seen the tendency in our ISKCON that it's sometimes even our Belarusia friend, you know, not Krishna Kirtan, but above, they would be surprised, you know, that we try to manage something to the one hands, which doesn't really work in spiritual or material or between or something. But what is like the healthy cooperation between different authorities, since it's maybe not only one except Krishna, of course, himself? Could you a little elaborate that?
Yes. Well, Krishna has given his system. Since it is him, he is one, he's non-dual. So everything is connected with him. He's pervading everything, everything's him. It all works on Krishna's laws. Therefore, appreciating that it's all Krishna and it's all Krishna's laws, then, and that we're servant, we try to please Krishna, then we can make things start to function. So then, okay, so how do we know Krishna? We know Krishna through the Vaishnavas. Okay, and then which Vaishnavas? Then we see. We know Krishna through serving, you know, as Lord Chaitanya gives direction. How do we know what Lord Chaitanya? Because that's what Rupa Goswami says and the six Goswamis. And then like this, it comes down parampara. So all this direction and that is given to us. Then that information is then put into a context by the founder Acharya so that we can understand how all this fits together and how all this can be used together to please Lord Chaitanya and therefore Radha and Krishna. So that's the first principle, is that it has to work like that. Then we have to see is that being the whole point is to elevate ourselves from whatever position we're in up to the platform of developing pure love for Krishna. Then we're going to see is that, okay, then according to my position, what service can I do? What nature do I have that I can, you know, apply myself? And so then I'm able to apply myself in a position according to my particular guna and karma. It's not that I am that guna and karma. That's what's given by, you know, the material energy due to our previous works. But that through that, I can serve Krishna. Because the point is being personal, you have to serve Krishna through your body, mind, and words that you have. So if I only have the material body, mind, and words, I use those in Krishna's service. If you have a spiritual body that you're able to function in within, then you engage that nicely in Krishna's service in your meditation on Krishna. But if you're taking part in the Sankirtan movement, then you'll use the form that you have here in this same way. So you have to be able to appreciate that everybody has something different. There are those that see how the whole thing works and that they see that this is how one should be involved in Krishna consciousness and can inspire others in that way. So those are your preachers, you know, and as mentioned, the GBC are supposed to be functioning on that level, like the sannyasis, like the preachers. And then you're going to have then those who are taking up particular projects within the movement that therefore will attain to engaging themselves and others in Krishna consciousness. And then within that project, you have so many subdivisions. Then there's persons who are qualified to run a particular subdivision. And then they engage themselves in that particular subdivision. And so there's a natural hierarchy.
So that's the whole point. That's the uniqueness of the Vedic system, is that they show how things actually work. Like you're saying, it works, all these levels, because the people who are there is like, say, professors and retired, let's say, administrators or military or, you know, corporate leaders, all this, they're only giving advice. But they know how the whole thing holds together and how everyone cooperates. Then those who actually have offices, then they do those. And then where the particular individual, you know, there's the top office and then there's offices below that. You know, if you have the general, then below that you have the other offices. Below that you have then your sergeants, and below that you have your privates. So you have to know where you fit. And knowing that, then everything works very nicely. The difficulty is when we say, oh, we're not this body, we just chant, so we don't care about the rules. And at the same time, we want a hierarchical structure. Those two won't work together. You have to be able to know what you can do. Otherwise, you have a hierarchy that's filled with people that aren't qualified to be in those positions. You know? And as we see, it's very specialized. Any living entity can understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, anybody who's mature enough in Krishna consciousness can be a preacher. Start my video. Okay. It is started, that I know. Yeah? Okay. So therefore then, anybody can preach. Anybody could come. Anybody can act on that platform of sannyas, where whatever you're doing is simply to please Krishna, not for yourself. So that means anybody can function actually on that topmost platform. Now it takes particular material qualifications. If you can be an administrator or a department head, or what kind of administration you're doing. Like somebody works great in the temple, someone on a farm, someone in the community, someone on, you know, a traveling Sankirtan party, someone working with the BBT, someone working like this. So all these different things are there, you know. And so Prabhupada, when he gave the seven purposes, it already encompasses all these various areas like that. And so then we simply have to see, according to our nature, where we fit. Prabhupada's constantly talking about that. It's not that we identify with it. I don't say I'm a temple president, so that's my position. No, it's that I do the service of a temple president. I have the nature, so therefore I do it. That's my service to Krishna. If you had him do something else, well, it wouldn't work. Right? Unless he does something higher. You know, it means transcendental. He just does preaching or like that. That you can do. You can step from the material platform into the transcendental, but you can't then claim that therefore anybody can do any material position. You know, otherwise the dwarf always wants to touch the moon. Right? And as we know, only cows can jump over the moon. So therefore we have to know, one has to know one's particular qualification on that line. So that's the whole point, is those 5,000 people there, they were most likely people that were the most successful in their areas. And they came together, and that being successful in an area, that's the commonness between them all, even though the areas they're effective in is different. But they all understand success by knowing who you are, following your abilities in the position that you do in that hierarchy. And there has to be an ultimate goal. And so then that way, then tens, hundreds, thousands can all get together and have no problem. But if we are contaminated by this ideas that, oh no, but it's whatever someone feels like doing and whatever they want, then the whole thing falls apart. Why? Because Anamai platform will not make anything other than your personal benefit work. You have to minimum come to Pranamoy to kind of start to make it work. But then how do you define what are the social and economic rules unless you have Dharma, which Krishna gave? Krishna gives Dharma. We didn't make economics. We didn't make families and communities. Krishna made that.
So then we have to follow what Krishna has given. That's the Dharma. But for what? Because we are devotees. So we're not the body. Therefore, the Dharma Artha Kama, we follow that according to our particular nature on the platform of I'm the devotee. I'm the soul. I'm a sadhaka. I'm practicing sadhana bhakti. And what's the ultimate goal? Is not Dharma Artha Kama or moksha, but is pure love for Krishna. In other words, situated on the platform of Vijnanamoy, I use the lower three platforms in service, with that the consciousness of that fourth platform for the purpose of pleasing Krishna on the fifth platform. And that's how devotees can make it all work. So devotees already have this. They've heard these points. They may not have put them together nicely in a structured way that they understand how they practically work, both spiritually and material. Because when we're talking about this strategic planning, it works for the individual's life spiritually. It works for the individual life, how they're maintaining themselves and the social that. It works on their individual life, how they function within the context of the institution. So it does everything. And the institution, how it functions in context of the strategy that's there, and working with the individuals, it has everything in it. It's perfect. It's a perfect system that's given by the acharyas. So using anything less won't work. That's why Varnashram holds the whole thing together. While if you use democracy, that only deals with anamoya and pranamoya. Right? If you use capitalism, it only works within democracy, just for the economic community. If you use some other, autocratic system, that works good for the government, but it doesn't work for anybody else. If you use anarchy, it doesn't work for anybody, as we said. If you use socialism, it's good for shudras, but even they don't work. It doesn't work out very good because who makes the money? You want to provide for the shudras. Who makes the money since there's no vaishyas? So the whole thing is you have to have all eight positions, all four social and all four spiritual, to make the system work, and you know where you fit. So if the karmis can do that well and they're not even using the full system, imagine how good it is if you use the full system. Then you have Ram Raja. Then you have like Yudhishthir. Right? Then you have like Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission with all his great generals, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Shiva, all these personalities and how great it was working and how it was nicely expanding. But you have to have everything there and you yourself on an individual level understand how all these levels of consciousness work and how you're engaging them. Then, that's leadership. And if you don't understand it, you follow someone who is engaged or does understand. Then it works. And with time, as you become purified, you'll understand because it's the nature of the soul to understand these things. It's not necessarily the nature of the soul to understand management or economics or art. But it is the soul's nature to understand who they are, who Krishna is in that relationship. That they can do. Yeah,
does that make
sense?
Yeah, I just thought, that by this small portion, just that they understand their material qualities, they have an experience of expanding this 5,000 bodies to actually 900,000 people actioning for the protection for 5.6 million people. They have that experience. It works like that. So they always, of course, go through that, but they just have realized this one element, which is their material qualifications. So I wouldn't like to say, but I still say, sometimes they have realized this level much better than the spiritualists. The who is who is good in what? So I just like to, last, Maharaj, do we have
they're just, they're practical at that, because that's their ability.
My wife as a Swedish National Council chair, she would have one question. Do we have any more? We have a few minutes time. Is it okay? Or shall we leave it for tomorrow?
Yes. Yeah, just ask and we'll We'll deal how much we can today, and then we'll deal more tomorrow.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, my humble obeisances. I would just like to have it kind of confirmed. I mean, I think you have maybe answered already my question, but just to get it confirmed that is it possible for the, let's say, GBC or temple president? Now, if we talk about GBC, if he is not a Brahmana by guna and karma, is that is it possible still to be a GBC, or same for the temple president, if it's not by guna and karma, kshatriya, is it possible still to be a temple president in a spiritual, like, because we are in a spiritual society?
Yes, but that means we always have to remember that being in a spiritual society is not an excuse that we do whatever we want. Like now you see the kind of more left-leaning social movements. It's just about what people feel like. It's not what they're qualified for, right? So the point is the spiritual platform and what the strategy is and how that strategy works, as one advances in Krishna consciousness, he can understand that. Right? But even if he doesn't understand it, but he himself is fixed in Krishna consciousness, then they themselves will be a very nice devotee and everything like that. And, you know, they can be inspiring. They can be a very nice preacher. They may or may not be able, because GBC has to have a little bit of understanding of organization. They don't necessarily have to be able to organize, but they understand how it works and what is the position of those who can organize, administrators, and they can support them to do that. So the point is if they have that kind of position, because you see, as the brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, and sannyas, they're technically, you know, a brahminical positions. Does that make sense? Like you see, let's say you have somebody, whoever they were. But if they're, you know, 80, 90 years old, they can give all kinds of advice to anybody, you know, on life and stuff like that. Because you have an understanding, you have a realization of that. Because they're detached. The point is, brahminical means you give advice, people take it or not, that's their independence. If they don't, then there may be organizational reaction. But the point is, It's a matter of the individual taking it. So you have to explain, you have to educate them in what is going on. In other words, administrative, it's more of this is what you do and that's it. But that the brahminical means this is why you have to do it and how you have to do it. And so that's why then you, with the brains, you can understand time, place, and circumstance. Because a lot of times managers will say, no, but time, place, and circumstance. But people can only apply that if they actually understand what they're doing. And to expect people to apply it in time, place, and circumstance and not be trained, then that's foolish. So the manager tells his people what to do, and then when he comes around and the situation changes and they do the same thing and it doesn't work, he gets upset. Why you guys aren't using your brain and that? But he doesn't want them to use their brain. He just wants them to do what he says. And then when that doesn't work, then he's going to blame them and not himself. So therefore, to actually be a manager, that you have to be able to manage. But you could be a temple president and be brahminical, but you have to have people who are able to manage, working in the temple that actually make things work. And you have to take their advice on what's best for practically applying it, though they have to take your advice as the president and the one who can give the proper spiritual direction. Because management is all, everybody manages like that. You know, it's, I mean, how is it that there's that dinner is on the table at 6 o'clock in all the homes? Because it's being managed, right? So everybody manages. But administration and those who know that, then they'll do those areas. And you do have Brahmins who know that area. Chanakya Pandit knew it very well, no? But he lived in his hut and he did his thing. Right? So you can have means point is, if someone's acting on the spiritual platform, then anybody could be a GBC as long as they can relate to the duties that go. They can see the strategy, how it applies to the whole society, and that. If they can't see that, then they shouldn't do it. They should just stick to preaching. Same with the president. Like you see, very Brahminical presidents, many times a very enthusiastic temple, but if they don't have administrators there that can do the work, then sometimes it's not well organized. Somebody who's an administrative, they run the temple, it runs very well on all this, but they have to be careful that they don't let management take the prominence and not the spiritual or the, the personal development. They'll see everything more. And then if someone's, let's say, more of a, economic background or business background, then much of the time they have perfect arrangements. Everything's done very nicely, but it doesn't necessarily have any life. So then they have to make sure that they have people that are more Brahminical to take the lead in that way. So in other words, you have to have all these elements, Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya elements in the temple. What you can do, you do it. What you can't, you find others who can do. That cooperation makes the temple work. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. More of this will come up because now, from tomorrow, we start getting into the outline of the whole structure. And so many of these things will come up in more detail, especially when we get into the analysis, then we have Prabhupada's quotes and him telling exactly how things work.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, so then we'll continue tomorrow.
Those who have questions from today's already, please, you can already send those to me. And we can start tomorrow with the questions. Is it okay, Maharaj? If there is some questions, we can start.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Jai. Thank you, Maharaj, very much. Thank you for all your participation. And see you tomorrow. Try to be on time. Today, of course, take some time to race up to Himalayas and like that. But still, try to be 15 minutes before the seminar starts. It's finished time, 8 o'clock when we start. Jai. It's all nice. Hare Krishna. Maharaj Ki.
Jai.
Hare Krishna. Leadership Manager Satsang 2021 Ki.
Jai.
Welcome, Anande.
Hare Krishna.